This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my partner in crime, who I was not expecting to be here today, by the way, as he was in studio for the post-trade deadline edition, but I think he missed me, so he decided to drive it on over the back 40. What's up, Mr. Rivers?
100%. I missed you so much, and I just figured that I'd come in here this morning and give a little extra. I figured the Blues were asked to give a little extra. I'd give a little extra today.
You don't ask anybody to do anything you wouldn't do yourself. I personally think it's because you knew Kimby wasn't going to be here, and you knew you wouldn't have to possibly wrestle the bear today. I also believe in my heart that the other reason you drove over here was to take the opportunity to talk live with the one that's awesome at being awesome, the one, the only, Angela Sharp, who is on the celebrity hotline here on Blues NHL podcast, is brought to you by InnovativeCompanies.com. What's going on, Miss Sharp?
Hey guys, how are you guys feeling this morning?
Well, we're feeling just fine.
A lot better than I have for a lot of mornings lately, that's for sure.
I mean, I gotta tell you, I'm really glad that Jamie accidentally came in on a day after a win when I was going to be on, as opposed to a different day. So this is good.
Well, yeah, we have to try, and these are small victories, right? So we have to get in here and try bring up the positive energy. I think that there's been enough negativity surrounding it, and I'm sure you, with all that you do, and the fact that you have to blend with the fans so much, that's had to have been pretty difficult for you.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't obviously work last night's game because it was Casey night, but yeah, and the other games, you know, that's rough. It's difficult. Like, I think I told you guys once earlier in the season that was the first time I had heard audible boos from the crowd, and then we had those more recently again too. And, you know, you always hear, you know, there's always a group section of fans, maybe they don't like this or don't like that. But when, you know, a good amount of the fans are booing, and then I have to get up there and talk about giving away pizzas or something. it's just kind of difficult because, I mean, you obviously know the fans are not happy. If there's something I can do that is going to, you know, thrill them. So it's an interesting spot to be in sometimes.
Well, it's hard, too, because I sometimes go through the same thing. It's like people feel like we're a direct connection to the team itself because of our involvement with the Blues organization, whether, you know, it's hockey operations or like you do in your fan development and game time entertainment and all that. They still view us as like a direct liaison sometimes, and they feel like they've got to air out their dirty laundry to us, almost like we're going to pass it along, or I don't know if it's therapy, but I'm sure you go through that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people stop me all the time, be it at the game or even just out in my regular life, and they're like, oh my gosh, like, let me tell you what should have happened at the game the other day. And it's like, thank you, that's great. What am I supposed to do with that information?
How many messages have you been given over the years out at a club or maybe in the concourse that somebody would like you to pass along to the coach or Mr. Armstrong about the power play or the penalty kill? I'm sure.
Oh my gosh, it's just too many to count. I mean, that is a normal thing. Even when the team is doing it super well and on win streaks, it's like, oh, hey, what you need to do is you need to let somebody know that we need to do A, B, and C during this. And I'm like, okay, like, I hate to tell you guys, coach doesn't listen to me ever. So,
but at the end of the day, we got to try and keep all of our fans happy. And certainly, I know, like you said, you weren't working last night, but you're in the building. That had to have been a little bit of an exhale moment for all the fans that enjoyed a win.
Oh, I think so, absolutely. I mean, that was it was a win that we definitely needed. But and it's hard to ever say a win you think you're definitely going to get. But going into that game, I thought we were going to get that win. I didn't think the lose streak was going to continue. And, you know, with Detroit, I just assumed it was going to be a win. It was a little bit of more of a slower pickup to get that win. But I was pretty excited, especially during that last little bit of play.
You know what I'm trying to figure out? The last time you didn't work a game, which was the first time in like 11 years or something, did they win?
Oh, don't start down that road, Cromer.
If she's a good luck charm?
No, don't start down
what
that.
What do you mean?
No. Come
if
on.
If she's 2-0 as a fan.
Do you know how many games that they've won while she's been working?
No. That's my point, though. But if she's 2-0 as a fan, come on.
Oh, my God. Don't listen to his crap. My God. He goes searching for these.
Are you trying to do my job? No, I think the last game they lost.
Okay,
yeah,
so
you got to say the last game
the
that you didn't work,
girl.
They got blown out. That's what you got. Even if it's not true, you got to tell them that.
Okay. That's. I mean, I'm pretty sure we lost. So I think I'm a one for one on games I haven't worked. It's a little more normal now, I guess. But I don't think you can just make me a fan now. I don't think that's how it works.
Well, you're a fan anyway, so I mean, you know, it's.
Well,
how
I was
it
a
rolls.
Fan. Well, I was a fan when I was 5. So yes.
Man, 5 years old.
5 years old.
Yeah, my grandfather played pickup games with Scotty Bowman and Sid. So, like, yeah,
wow.
I was a fan when I was a little kid.
Holy cow, now that sounds like a whole other story.
Yeah, that's a whole other show. My goodness.
Had no idea. Did you ever play hockey?
I never played hockey. I mean, you know, I think when I was little, it was a lot more rare for a female to do that. I mean, now that, you know, you've got, you know, whole girls leagues and teams and stuff, and it was different for me, but both my uncles played and my little brother played, so yeah, it was one of those things that I kind of...
You know, it's not too late. You know, we could do a whole documentary at SynergyHockeySkills.com.
I've seen, now hang on, you're as you go on here, it's funny, but it's not, but I've come across female teams that are adults, that are beginners, and they've approached us in the past, and we've done some work with them to help them, you know, refine skill skating and that. And they're adults, so it's funny. We're joking about it. However,
I'm not joking.
Well, I am, but we're joking about it. But it's still out there. It's kind of neat that we've come that far to where we have adult pickup leagues that have only girls or women only. And you know, certainly another side of it too is watching the U.S. women's team win the gold medal in one of the most viewed things in the entire Olympics. So we've come a long way.
Oh, no, I think all of this is just amazing. I worked a little bit with the Lady Cyclones over last summer too. You know, you see these little girls, I mean, tiny little girls out there skating, and I'm like, man, that would have been so cool to be able to do. So I think it's awesome that women, you know, maybe a little bit older women are actually starting to try to, you know, pick up the game, even if it's just for rec league fun. I think that's amazing.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they're looking at it going, yeah, you know, hubby's got his 4 or 5 hour golf game that he takes every Friday afternoon. Well, I'm gonna go play hockey with the girls on Friday night.
Hockey with the girls.
Yeah,
why not? I love it.
Yeah, I'm with
you. I think we're on to something here. A segment on the show, we get producer Andrew over at I don't know, whatever rink you're at, over Merrimack somewhere like that, right?
Merrimack, just pick one.
I would say you're at all the rinks.
Just throw them out there.
We get Angela in there once or twice a week taking the Synergy hockey class. We get Andrew Allen to video the whole thing. We put it together. I think we document this,
now
Angela.
He wants to video it.
I think we document this, Angela. What do you think?
I love how this, like, snowballed into some sort of production. I'm in.
You're in?
Obviously, I'm going to be in. That sounds like fun. Why
this would be amazing.
This is a Cromer idea. We got to be very careful with Cromer ideas.
What is wrong with this idea? She gets to learn how to play hockey.
Anybody who's met you knows that we have to be very careful of your ideas.
She would be a tear on the ice, I bet.
Well, I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about her. I'm just worried about your ideas.
Well, what is wrong with... She's in. You heard her say she's in.
I know
Synergy Hockey Skills can handle the workload. I know that.
We can. We certainly can.
I'm telling you, this is a golden idea. We're going to have to get on this a little bit. Right, we'll put it to the fans. We'll just put a poll out.
You and Net. at that point, Cromer, and then everybody can shoot pucks at you. So then we have a real, no, like, we're bringing
the,
it, we're,
the shooting
we
of the
pull
pucks.
It all together.
I'll do the shooting of the pucks, okay? Oh, you go. Get in that. No, that's better. You get in that.
Fine, give me the goalie gear. I blocked shots for years without goalie gear. Okay. I'll gladly put the goalie gear on.
Okay, there's the deal. You got it. So, Angela, it's you and I, and we'll get Kimball back out on skates. Jamie's in nets.
We have to find a huge helmet, though.
Oh, my God.
Look at the size of that cranium.
Gracious.
All right, so we're going to put this out on Twitter. So we're going to let the fans decide, Angela. If the fans decide they want to see you learn how to play hockey, you're in?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, you heard it here, folks.
Here we go. All right, so what do you got coming up? Anything you going? I mean, knowing you, you're probably leaving for Nashville any moment. God only knows.
Actually, the team is on away games until the 15th. So I have a really long stretch here of time to hang out. So, yeah, I actually do have a little trip to Nashville planned next week. So
is there
I'll
any,
be there for a little
Is there
while.
Any such thing as a little trip to Nashville?
Well, I mean, every trip to Nashville is really only it's not like I live there. So it's, a couple days. It's a little
All
trip.
Right. Okay.
Nash Vegas.
I mean, you know, it's one of my favorite places to go visit on our off time.
Well, it's not like it's really taxing for you. It's like it's not like a punishment, rather, where you have to go to Nashville to do some work. Like, come on, right?
All right.
It's beautiful.
We're not asking you to go to Gary, Indiana.
Really
nice.
All right.
Exactly, right?
All right, so I'm going to get this out on Twitter, and we're going to find out if people want to see. This could be a whole new thing for you, Angela. I mean, again, you could be playing in adult leagues by this time next year.
Okay. Be very careful with this. Be very careful, Angela.
This is fine. I wouldn't mind doing that, but I was afraid he was going to say, like, something bigger. I'm never going to have the skill set of some of these ladies that are out there playing on the regular
you
basis.
You don't know
but
that.
It would be fine.
All right.
Some of these ladies, they make guys like me and Kimby look bad. These ladies are incredible. I'm telling you. Yeah, I agree.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right.
There's no way that's going to happen, but it would be fun to be able to, with maybe a beginner rec league hangout. That would be cool.
All right. So we'll put it to the fans. You've heard it here. She's in if the fans want to see it. So we'll be spreading that on social media. Speaking of social media, before you go, how can the listeners follow you, Angela?
Everything, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it's all just my name. Angela has two L's. Sharp has an E at the end of it.
Sounds good. You go have yourself some fun. We will talk to you next Thursday.
Talk to you next time. Let's go Blues.
See you, Angela.
See
that
you
is the one, the only Angela Sharp. This ought to be good. I'm telling you, this is going to be fantastic.
Well, there's no downside to it.
No, there isn't.
There isn't.
I think it's
the only downside is that we have to maybe watch you shoot a puck.
I think what you're unaware of is that I can shoot a puck.
But can you stand up and shoot it?
I can stand up and
shoot it. Not street hockey here.
No, I can stand up and shoot it.
When's the last time you were on ice skates?
It's been a few years. A
few years.
Yeah.
So you think it's like riding a bike for you?
I mean,
I can see, like, for somebody like me, like, take 10 years off and put on skates and be fine.
I hadn't been on skates for quite a few years, and then when my son started playing hockey, I started helping, and it was no problem.
Oh, boy.
And listen, the one thing I can tell you is I can shoot it. I couldn't skate as well as everybody else, but I can shoot it.
Now, should we do a hardest shot competition then too? You're claiming you can bring it.
I could shoot it.
You bring it. How hard do you think you can shoot a puck? Seriously.
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea. I know I shot it really, really hard then.
But what do you think is really, really hard?
I mean, 90 plus?
No way.
Okay.
NHLers that can't shoot at 90.
They used to clock it all the time.
With what?
I used to win contests. I'm just telling you, I used to
shooting
win
hockey pucks.
Yeah, I used to do it all the time.
Shooting 90 miles an hour.
They used to have it at the arena all the time. Remember those days?
No, those were plastic pucks though.
No, they were ice hockey pucks on a plexiglass thing, and you were standing on feet and you'd shoot.
But they do that to make you feel good. You don't. They're not real things.
Okay, listen, I'm not. We'll just see what happens.
All right.
I couldn't do very many things well in life, but I could shoot. And even Mr. Henson, the hockey guy, will tell you that this is true.
Well, what do you think? I've already got my reports from you. Just text me.
Okay.
It says Cromer can't play hockey.
Well, I didn't say I could play hockey very well. No, I just started skating later than everybody else, but I could play. I could hit, I could fight, and I could score, but I couldn't skate. That one.
Oh boy! Now
he
all of a sudden he's Cam Neely around here.
Well, no, Cam Neely could skate, couldn't he?
Hit, fight, score.
I can do all that stuff.
Cromes, you'd be a millionaire right now.
No.
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 All right.
No.
I guess we'll find out.
Okay, we will find out. This is going to be good stuff.
All right, good.
I'm glad I'm getting in peak physical condition at the moment too. I'm going to need it. I'm trying. It's not going very well.
But
if I get challenged for something like this, I'm going to have to. So we'll see what happens. Speaking of challenge, I think our Blues felt a little challenged, kind of like that. Put in that room and get cornered. And I think sometimes you get your back up against the wall and you get cornered and you kind of come out fighting. It was good to see last night. I mean, I saw some good things last night. Saw some things that you're sitting there going, man, you know. But at the end, got to win. And some emotion. Saw some emotion. I thought the captain answered the bell last night. And again, I think he's taken.
Yeah, whether he scores or not last night, he answered the bell. And I thought overall the captain has answered the bell. It's been very difficult because as a captain, you know, you take all the blame for when things go wrong and you want none of the credit when they go right. I mean, that's a sign of a true leader. And so it's tough because even Mike Yeo said, you know, the Petro is taking a lot of it upon himself and sometimes trying to do way too much. And just like quicksand, right? The harder you fight, the quicker you sink. And that's the way it happens when maybe things aren't going the right way. So look, I wasn't expecting a perfect game out of the Blues last night because you don't just flip a switch from one night to another and everything is miraculously perfect. But what I did see was energy. It did look like they cared. It looked like they were involved in the game, intense. Mike Yeo starts the fourth line, certainly by design, to show that not necessarily we're here to start a rumble, but we're here to work hard. We're here to win those battles. We're going to challenge you physically. We're going to challenge you, all along the walls, in front of the net, all that stuff. So I think the message was sent out pretty darn clear by Coach Yeo, and I think that the players responded the right way. I really felt like that was a good response to what they had done the night before.
I know there's more to it than this. Is Bergy the scapegoat here? Because he...
Well, unfortunately, it looks like that, right? And as it was happening last night, I sat there thinking to myself, man, I've been in these situations where you get removed from a lineup that's the team is skidding a little bit, and then they win, and it looks like... whether it looks that way or you just feel that way at home, it's like, God, am I the problem? You know, is that what it is now? Am I the only guy? Like, am I the solution? As soon as they take me out, they win. It's weird. You feel like you're on an island. I can tell you, Patrick Berglund, and for all the people that are all over him and this and that and the other, the guy's still a human being, okay? And he's probably more than likely feeling really alone on an island today because all the other guys are hooting and hollering. They're living it up. They're, oh my God, we won, you know, and all this positive energy. And then what's he going to say about it, right? Great job, boys. Great job, boys. It's like you always feel a little out of place in those situations. And here's the thing. I don't think he was playing the best that he could play. However, he's not the only guy. But because of the way the season is and it's after the trade deadline and roster spots that are you're only allowed so many, Mike Yeo couldn't sit four or five guys. He couldn't. So he had to pick one guy. And I guarantee that had they not won last night, which I'm glad they did, but had they not won, then there'd be somebody different coming out next time. He would have kept going down the roster to show the guys that he's not happy with that they're part of the problem right now. And so it just happened to be Patrick Berglund last night. And guess what? I'd be willing to bet a lot of money that the lineup doesn't change.
Well, so that was my next question. See how you are? You got the foreshadowing thing going.
The problem is
you're a professional.
I've lived this, right? So I know, like, I'm sitting here thinking, I am pretending I'm Patrick Berglund right now, and, like, the odds of this lineup changing would be foolish. And I'm not saying Mike Yeo's foolish if he does put Bergy back in there. I mean, he's got 4 years left on his deal. He's, you know, supposed to be a big part of your lineup. However, when bad streaks happen like they did, and then you break that streak, very seldom do you say, okay, I'm going to mess with things again right away. Usually you're like, yeah, you know what? Whether it's right or wrong or not, I'm going to stick with what we did the other night because that combination of players and effort and everything that went on, that worked. So this is a really tough spot for Patrick Berglund and for the Blues because you want to keep a good thing going and winning games is good, especially put them back tied for a playoff spot. Which, let's not forget about that for a second, that all of this crap that's happened, they're still tied for a wild card spot. not in an ideal situation. I get it. You'd rather be in than fighting for your life. But they're back in the playoffs. They got a big game, what, Saturday against Dallas? Mm-hmm. I don't see Mike Yeo touching the lineup. I just can't imagine messing with that. So, you know, now if they win again, do you mess with it? Like, it just keeps going. Just like a losing streak, once you get hot, you don't change shit.
Well, I want to talk to you a little bit more about where they go following a win versus we've been talking about where do they go from here after all these losses. Before we do, we want to remind everybody to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. You know, among the multiple things you can do there, you're obviously maybe listening to the show there, back episodes, things like that. But the big thing you can do there is subscribe to the podcast, which is completely free. It's easy to do. Takes you about 30 seconds. You'll get a notification each time we put out the new show. The other thing you can do there that actually helps the show is do your shopping through Amazon. We know that this gentleman that owns Amazon has more money and he knows what to do with. So everybody's doing their shopping there. All you got to do is click Amazon banner on your computer. It's down to the right. On your mobile device, you'll scroll all the way down. Once you do that, you're done with us. You go do your shopping. We get a very small referral. Cost you nothing extra. We would greatly appreciate that. Social media, love it. You know, whether they're winning, losing, things are going well, not well, things are happening within the organization. We love to see what the fans' reaction is to a lot of the stuff. So therefore, social media is where it's at. Find us on Twitter. We are at STL Blues Podcast. We also have at NHL Show. We'd love you to follow both Twitter accounts. The big ask from us, though, is to go to Facebook, type in Blues NHL Podcast, find our Facebook page, like our Facebook page. Not done. We're going to ask you to invite your friends. So you simply click invite your friends. Scroll through your list. Anybody that's a Blues fan, invite them in. We'd like them to be part of the conversation as well. Find us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast. You can find us through lineupmedia.fm. They're the fastest growing podcast company on the planet. They take your entertainment time very seriously. They've got tremendous people making sure that you guys can find what you need when it comes to entertainment. Our producers are no different. Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, everything they do behind the scenes, we appreciate them greatly. I want to thank our partners, of course, Innovative Companies. You heard us at the beginning of the show. The show is brought to you by InnovativeCompanies.com, Randy, Stephanie Green, all the great things that they do for anybody out there looking for help, whether it's construction, heating and cooling, electric, all three arms underneath that one umbrella at InnovativeCompanies.com, residential, commercial, industrial, anything you may need. 35 years experience. Randy's a second-generation craftsman. He takes this very serious, folks. He's one of those old school guys where if he tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Fully licensed, bonded, and insured. If you want it done right, contact them from the beginning. They specialize in helping you do it from the get-go so that you don't have to go back, redo things, learn a lot. Oh, yeah, we learned a lot. No, you won't have to do that with Randy. He'll get you started down the right path. Give him an opportunity for your business. InnovativeCompanies.com. All right, so, Jamie, I'm going to get back to let's go on the bench with Butter here.
Okay.
All right, for our tax specialist, Tommy Brown, who you are Tommy Brown today.
Downtown, he was supposed to Tommy be here, Brown.
They have their end of season going on here for McKendree. So for our on the bench with Butter, okay, so you've already said that you've been through this. You can't see a scenario where Berge comes back in the lineup because of the win.
Can't see it.
Okay, now, that being said, I'm looking at the lineup last night and how it was kind of set up. I got to tell you, you know, we talked a little bit about the addition of, I hope I don't Kimball this. That's a new term. Soshnikov. Did I get that right? That's pretty good, right?
Yeah. Some people say Soshnikov. Some people say Soshnikov. Either way, it's the same. Tomato, tomato.
Either way, I tell you, I like the way he plays.
I liked him, and you know what? He's been trying here to get himself into this, I guess, this position where he can be noticed and play hard. And what a perfect time for him to jump in the lineup and come out with energy and lays a good hit out there. He's pressuring the puck. He had a couple of fancy little moves with the puck, showed a little bit of creativity, certainly showed some speed. So, you know, look, I still think the bar for this guy is to hopefully maybe one day be a second liner. However, I see him as a third liner.
And a good third liner.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like some people always, not always, but some people always feel that it's like, oh, you're not good if you're on the third or fourth line. Never has that been more inaccurate than in today's NHL. Like the fourth line used to be usually two or three guys who could just fight and that's it. Maybe one guy to run around. Third line was just slightly better than that. A couple of checkers, energy guys still. But nowadays, it's four lines that have to be able to play the game. Like, if you look at our fourth line, You know, you got Brodziak, Upshaw, and Thorburn last night. And people can say what they want about Thorburn. He still had 8 minutes of play. I think he had four or five hits, one block shot. Like, that's quite a bit of work that he did. And Brodziak and Upshaw, again, were energetic, intense, block shots, penalty kill, you know, all those things. But those guys can play the game. You know, they're not slugs out there. So third line, imagine that. Third line now is like a second line used to be. So Soshnikov coming in here, and if he's a talented player and he can bring the speed, and he reminds me, I'm not going to go crazy here. He kind of, based off his quick little body of work, he reminds me of what Sobotka used to be.
Well, I when was he first bring came it up. I was going to bring that up.
And, you know, for whatever reason, that style of play has evaporated.
Escaped.
Gone away. But to focus on the positives here.
Sure.
Soshnikov, he reminded me of that yesterday. And if he can do that consistently and keep his foot on the gas like that and stay that player, this guy's going to have a real healthy NHL career, and he's going to help the Blues. So far, I like him.
Yeah, I was impressed with his game. And again, you know, it's, you know, one game that I got to really see him for myself. Again, to your, I was going to bring that up to you. That's the element that I feel like they were hoping to get back in Sobotka that we saw before he left.
Yeah.
That everybody liked about him, right? The way he played the game. And, you know, I'm sitting here and you and I both have this look on our face like, you know, we're really missing that and we really want Sobotka to play that way. You know, and again, I'm not here to say that we can make him do anything he doesn't really ultimately want to do. It does puzzle me how that escapes a guy who's made his whole life about being that way. And again, to each their own. I mean, I know he wants to fill
a different
role.
The problem is we don't know what happened in Russia, right?
Sure.
And so I'm not talking negatively of Russia. What I'm trying to say is...
Sure you are, but that's okay.
No, I'm not. I can do that.
They
on
might
my
be
own.
Listening.
No, I can do that
the
on
Russian
my own.
Mafia might be listening. We need to be careful. Okay.
But, you know, Sobotka left here and had done quite a bit where he thought he'd done enough to earn a contract that he currently has. He didn't get that offer. He got brought to arbitration because the Blues wanted to see if he could continue to play that way and continue to evolve as a player. He didn't like that, so he went to Russia and took a 3-year deal making money that he thought was equivalent to what he should have been making here. Doug Armstrong took a pretty mature route on it and held on to his rights and never, to my knowledge, spoke negatively of the player in the media or anything like that. He just said, look, he's entitled to do what he wants. We have his rights, and when he's ready to come back, we'll talk to him. Well, he decides he wants to come back, but unfortunately, this is just like anything else, right? Like, you don't see somebody for 3 years. Sometimes they come back not the same person that they left. And this is kind of where I think he's stuck. I don't know if he's stuck. This is what he's chosen now to be like because he had a greater responsibility in the KHL. He was more of a puck handler, more of a finesse guy, more of a goal scorer type thing. So that part of his game, that gritty part, which I'll tell you what, that rink is so much bigger, it's really hard to play that gritty game over on those Olympic size sheets because you run around all day long and sometimes you get nothing done. So you kind of have to step away from that. Now, I did it in short increments, you know, 5-6 months worth of hockey. He did it for 3 years. So he's probably come back with a little bit of different mindset. You know, is there somewhere that he could meet this halfway and still be contributing with some energy and physicality? I think there is. You know, I thought he played harder last night than I'd seen in recent games. But, you know, that's one game. And this is a guy, unfortunately, we have to rely on. He's got a 3-year deal at, what, $3 million a year, and he's supposed to be an all-around player. Not just supposed to be a guy that handles the puck. He's supposed to be a penalty killer. He was supposed to be our face-off guy. He was supposed to be gritty. I feel like we're just getting a portion of that right now. Now, again, I'm going to be fair. We saw signs of the other things last night.
Sure.
But it shouldn't take 7 losses in a row. It shouldn't take being called out by your coach. It shouldn't take all of that to finally give us one game that sort of kind of resembles what we used to have.
You know, because as a Blues fan, and I appreciate Doug Armstrong's comments, you know, he basically you know, said, listen, the fans aren't stupid. They know garbage when they see it. It hasn't been good enough. It's probably an extremely trying time for him, extremely trying time for Mike Yeo, obviously the players, you know, the ownership group. You've brought it. I mean, everybody knows this, but
you've
made sure to bring it up numerous times. They've done everything asked of them. And we talk about a rebuild, if that's the word you want to use. I mean, soft rebuild, hard rebuild, whatever you want to do.
Active rebuild.
Active rebuild. Yeah, we're actively in the middle. But at the end of the day, what we know about hockey, and again, the fans are knowledgeable. You know, the media does a decent job of this. Everybody does whatever. But we know how important playoff revenue is to ownership group.
Big
so
time.
You're sitting here going, if, you know, and keep this in mind, folks, if this organization takes the route of, well, if it's what's best for us is to, you know, go this route, that's a big commitment from them to say, man, we might be willing to lose out on a year or two's worth of playoff revenue.
Yeah, it's a big difference than just saying, okay, we're going to make our fan base upset. They already know that, okay,
yeah.
But this is hitting you in the pocketbook.
Right.
And we're not talking like $50,000 or $100,000. We're talking in the millions of dollars. So, yeah, it's an interesting position for ownership and management to be in. I think that looking back now, sitting back and kind of looking at the draft board for the next couple of years and looking at the prospect board, I've had some time to think, and I really do think Doug Armstrong has put the Blues in a pretty solid position. I know he wanted to, or he talked about anyways, wanting to flip that pick that he got from Stastny and include it in a deal and bring somebody else here. It didn't happen. Now, however, he still has that pick.
Sure.
And then doing a lot of background check with scouts and schools and NHL guys, everything about this Foley kid, 9 out of 10 guys said that this guy can be a top 2-line NHL regular as a power forward.
Hmm.
That's pretty impressive.
Sure.
And so if this is the return for a guy he was going to lose in the offseason anyways. Top of a first round pick. Like, did a pretty good job. And so, you know, we talk about, oh, well, you know, if we're going to rebuild. Well, the rebuild may not be like everyone thinks, the traditional rebuild where, right. Oh, we're going to suck for 2 years. No, the rebuild might be happening right now. Might be that the Tage Thompsons of the world, the Kairos down in the OHL put up 100 points now, the Robert Thomases, like these guys might be actively in the lineup next year. And maybe Foley's in the lineup. And maybe that first round pick gets translated into a trade who brings a certain guy here. Now you have another, like all of a sudden we're pretty damn deep in the lineup.
Yeah, I saw, I don't remember who it was. It may have been Cam or somebody that, you know, that, like yourself, that it's these aren't just guesses. These are educated statements. You know, not anything you guys would say, oh, yeah, so-and-so told me this. But, you know, after polling and talking to numerous people, you're not going to get a top six forward from anybody without a first-round pick involved in it. You're
You have to give up something, right?
You know, like you're just not.
The days of just flat-out winning an NHL trade are gone. Like, you have to be literally, and I don't want to sound callous here, but it's like a divorce, right?
Yeah.
Like, very seldom do you have, like, someone just wins outright. Like, nowadays, it's like the legal system says, okay, here you go. You're going to split it down the middle, and hopefully you both end up with what you need, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's kind of like an NHL trade now. The GMs talk back and forth, and they're like, okay, yeah, this is not going to work for me. Okay, well, then I guess I'm going to have to give you this. And then, okay, we're both happy, and we make the trade. Somebody, you have to provide something that the other guy needs. Whereas, you know, like even the Laterra deal, we talk about Shen and Laterra, and everybody wants to highlight the fact that Shen for Laterra, and look at what happened. Well, there were draft picks involved too.
Sure.
So let's not forget that.
So, Phil, yeah, I mean, people think we absolutely fleece Philly. It's because of the here and now part of this. It's the same thing as what we're dealing with here. You look at it and you think, this sucks. You know, we lost Stastny. What are we doing? I thought we were fine for play. Everything isn't always – like, it'd be nice. I wish we were in the – as a fan, I wish we were in the position to say, it's all about right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, when you're like this, you got to sit here and go, you know, we have to think about tomorrow because right now is not very good. And, you know, again, that's not saying the guys can't get it together and at least – I'm not going to say surprise us with some good hockey over the next month or two.
No, just get back on track.
Yeah, I'd take that. know, knowing what we have coming, if we could just get back on track, I'd take that.
You know, listening to, I think it was NHL Tonight or NBC Overtime, what they do after the games. Listening to them last night and remembering this certainly was, you know, last year when the Kevin Shattenkirk deal went down, the Blues lost like four in a row when that trade went down. And then after that, they went on a tear. And they got in the playoffs, and they had a first-round upset, and everybody was like, oh, my gosh. And I remember talking about this, saying that it was great that they ended the season like that. However, we have to be very cautious in believing that we're going to get better than what we are right now in the next year. Meaning, I was very apprehensive to shoot for the stars based on the fact that we had pulled together a really good ending to the season and an upset in the playoffs. And it's looking to be that way again this year, where we shouldn't have shot for the stars. We did not necessarily overachieve. We had some good luck, good bounces, whatever you want to call it. We got some wins. We were winning a lot of games. The league regulates itself throughout the season, and I think we're finally in a spot where maybe not regulated, probably took a few steps back from where we wanted to be, but realistically, we're right kind of sort of where I think most people thought that they'd be. And so it's not that bad. You know, we're coming off a bad stretch, but we get to win last night. If we can put together, if you can go almost 500 hockey, slightly above 500 hockey, like, you've done a pretty damn good job. Now, I'm not saying that gets you in the playoffs.
Right.
Okay. But if they get any kind of luck at all and find their way into the playoffs, now we haven't forfeited a season. And now you still have all these young guys that you can start to integrate within your roster in the next year. So I'll say it again. Tampa Bay Lightning went to the Stanley Cup final. And nobody realizes this, but if you look at their roster from that year to where they are now, there's a substantial difference in personnel. And along the way, Steve Yzerman has done an interior rebuild, meaning that, like, he's just sort of swapped out players, replaced guys, changed it around, picked up draft picks, and now he has them with all that youth that he got, all the picks, all the stuff that he managed to accumulate and change guys out, get rid of salary. Now he's got Tampa Bay Lightning set up for, hopefully, for their sake, 5 or 6 years of really good hockey. Right now, the Blues, if you look at their stable of players, prospects, and picks, they're in a very similar situation that the Lightning were in a couple of years ago, to where they have the ability. Now, of course, that means players working out the way they thought they would. That means draft picks being as good as they thought they could. That means the guys who are their prospects right now getting into the NHL and making a difference. All these are question marks. I get it. But if you line up the teams kind of parallel, side by side, it has a look of almost the same type of scenario, where the Blues in 2 or 3 years could be as dominant as the Lightning are right now.
You know, I look at the whole roster of who I think, you know, is, I hate to use this word, who's a core guy, right? Like, who's the guys that you know going forward? And again, this isn't fantasy land. Like, no. There's contracts involved here, right?
Well, that's the biggest thing, is the contracts, the guaranteed money that's owed.
So then you look at, okay, who do we have? Who's in the mix? You know, to your point, okay, you're going to have some of these guys, but then who do they replace, and how do they replace them, and all that kind of stuff. The one guy that intrigues me in this whole thing, and you never hear his name mentioned anymore because of this situation, and this is where I'm going to bring in our SynergyHockeySkills.com and NelsonLandServices.com portion of the program, only because typically SynergyHockeySkills.com, NelsonLandServices.com, we bring that in as part of our amateur portion of the program. The reason I'm bringing it in is because you think about Synergy Hockey Skills and what you do and the development, and you go things like this. The guy I'm talking about is Robbie Fabbri.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is, here's a guy that, you know, I think all of us recognize the talent level, right? We have a second knee surgery. What can he be doing? I don't know. He may be doing it now. I don't know what his recovery time frame is. What is this guy going to have to do to get himself back physically? Because I don't know about you, but I think he's a big piece of – because that's like adding a top six forward in a trade.
Well, certainly. And you're right. He's kind of gone as the forgotten guy in this whole thing, which I guess by you have
by
to.
By default.
By
yeah.
default, you have to because he's not on the roster. We don't know where he's going to fit in. We don't know if he comes back. We don't know how quickly he can get healthy, at least 100%. But this, he's going to have had a longer period of time between his surgery and trying to get back in the lineup than he did before. So hopefully that bodes well to his training, his recovery, and everything that he has to do to get back in the lineup. If he can come back in the lineup almost the same guy and get to being the same guy quickly, God, what a pickup that is for the Blues. And they'll have him on a one-year deal because nobody in their right mind is going to sign him for more than 1 year because what are you signing? A guy that's been injured for two seasons in a row, pretty much.
Hmm.
So I don't even think Robbie Fabry's agent or his camp, as they call it these days, would be looking for anything more than that. I think that they would realize that we owe this team a year of production, a year of not being hurt before we can look at a long-term deal. So I guess at the end of the day, it leaves him with a year to prove himself, which, in my opinion, usually brings out the best in players.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, listen, guaranteed money, guaranteed contracts, the stability that comes with that and the peace of mind, I'm sure, is great. The truth of the matter is, you know, this is an interesting situation because if I'm not mistaken, and you would know more than me, but you're right, I anticipate, although you could see the Blues maybe going, you know what, if we've invested all this time and effort and energy in him, let's try to get a two-year deal with a cap-friendly number.
I don't think you do that because you don't have to. The CBA tells me I don't have to do that. So why?
Well, if he plays 1 year, then what? No, is he an unrestricted?
He's still restricted.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
So why would you put yourself in that situation?
Okay.
Like, there's no reason to.
I thought with his service time.
No, he's still young. What is he, 23? 24? Yeah. Maybe maximum? Yeah, I think you've got till you're 27 now before you're unrestricted. So
because
they could probably 1 year him for 3 years if they had to or chose to.
Yeah, he's 22.
So he's 22, so they got 4 years before they have to give him, before he hits free agency. So if you're talking about a tryout, right?
Basically.
Like a one-year deal.
Okay.
Not necessarily a tryout, but a one-year deal. And if he comes out and he's healthy and everything looks good and he produces and all that, now you can talk a two-year extension, gets him right up, butted up against his free agency, and then that year you can look at doing a 4 or 5 year deal to keep him in the mix, or you move on.
I'm going to ask
I know
you,
it's pretty technical, but
well,
still.
I'm going to ask you to get your crystal ball out. What do you, I mean, the knee thing's tough because let's face it, he was
right now, if he came back, he'd help the team. Even at 80%, Robbie Fabry would help this team.
What's going to be the number one issue for him? Is it going to be speed?
Well, he's a smaller guy, right? So
right.
It's speed and quickness and those tight turns and that edge work, all that stuff that puts a lot of pressure on the knee. That's going to be the biggest question mark is can he get back to being, you know, quote unquote, that water bug out there? If he can't, then certainly you'll still get a good player. But you'll get a player that you kind of know, you know, where he's going to fit in. You kind of know what the limits are. If he can come back and do that, holy crap, like the sky's the limit now. Now you have all these prospects, all these young guys. You've got Robbie Fabry back in your lineup. So now you've got another top six forward you've added without costing you anything.
That's kind of why I brought him up because he's almost, you know, we talk about a top six forward. Well, he's a top six forward.
He is.
You know, I mean,
worst case scenario, he's a third line forward. Think about how damn good your third line would be right now.
Him, actually, Sashnikov,
hang on,
Sobotka back playing the
way
he should.
Let's do this for a second. Let's do this. So Robbie Fabry comes in your lineup. If he's a top six forward, he bumps somebody out of the top six down to the third line. By default, that third line gets a lot better because you've got a top six forward, theoretically, going down. Now, let's say Robbie Fabry comes back and they just put him on the third line. Guess what? Your third line just got better anyway, because you have Robbie Fabry on your third line. So like you said, Sashnikov, Fabry, maybe Sobotka, maybe a Barbashev, maybe even Berglund, who comes back and plays. But you put those two speedy wingers on, you know, flanking him on the sides.
Sure.
I'm just throwing possibilities
sure,
out there.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Or you could even put Tage Thompson in the middle.
God,
there.
The phone's ringing. It's Kimball. He heard you say Berglund.
No, but I'm just throwing shit on the wall here, right? And Tage Thompson could center those two,
sure.
Maybe.
What,
or Robert Thomas centers them next year.
Well, I was going to say, this is the part now, again, as I stay on the SynergyHockeySkills.com, and we want to remind everybody that, you know, in our amateur portion, We thank SynergyHockeySkills.com and everything Jamie does for the show, everything he does for the local community, especially when it comes to amateur hockey. You definitely want to check out SynergyHockeySkills.com. Remember, and we've had the opportunity to talk to multiple people on the show over the couple years we've done this now, it's just not for elite players, folks. I mean, I'll say it. He's sitting here. Does he work with NHL players? Absolutely. Has he worked with guys to get to the NHL? Absolutely. Has he also worked with the 8-year-old kid that's just trying to make the house team? Absolutely. The number one thing you're going to find, which I see, smiling faces when they do these camps and all the fun stuff that goes in. Yeah, absolutely. Does an 8-year-old kid stand there and look up and see a former NHLer teaching him how to do this and that, and how cool is that? For sure. That, you know who realized that? The Nelson family. Don't forget them. NelsonLandServices.com. 5-star locally rated professional landscaping company at reasonable prices. Again, lots of you guys have been down in the Ozarks. You've seen their handiwork on some of those beautiful homes. They've just asked us to help them spread their name a little bit in the St. Louis area as they find themselves up here more and more. Why? Synergy Hockey Skills and their older son playing for Coach Henson at McKendree. So again, as they've expanded their business and only made sense here in St. Louis, they help us with our amateur report. So let's talk about, they're not amateurs anymore, but I want to ask you, as we move forward, Tage Thompson has kind of cracked the lineup, so to speak, to some degree. We've seen flashes of really good hockey from him. So you look at it going forward and you think, okay, where does Tage Thompson fit in this whole thing? Can Robert Thomas – so the two players I want to talk about are Tage Thompson because of his size mm-hmm. and skill level, and Robert Thomas, who's – I mean, I have to go with what they say, and they – you know, that could be anybody – his skill level and where he projects. I mean, you look at those two guys coming down the pike. I would say it probably goes without saying that we can probably count more on Tage Thompson next year, for sure probably being a regular.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would think so because he's gotten an awful lot of time of grooming this year where he's played in the minors. He plays a ton when he's down the American League. And then he's come up here and he's played, you know, adequate minutes. I don't mean adequate like his play itself. He's gotten adequate minutes, meaning a good amount of time on the ice. You have to imagine that one of those two will slide into your top six forwards, replacing Stasny at center. I know we have Barbashev up there right now. I personally see Barbashev as a third-line guy, so maybe he's that third-line center we talk about.
Sure.
A natural center at that, too. You know, I think Tage Thompson, I think Robert Thomas is going to push. He's going to push, man. From everything I've seen and heard and people talking about, he's going to push to make this team next year. The guy that's kind of on the outside looking in is Kyrou. And it sounds crazy to say that because he just got 100 points, and every time you turn around, it looks like he's got a 3-, 4-, 5-point night down in the OHL. He's a hell of a player. Ultimately, I think he's a player that might find his way to a different team in order to bring something back here. I don't know, it's my opinion, that if the Blues had to move one of those prospects, that he would be the one that they would be willing to part with right now to bring something else in. The reason being is when you watch his game, it's just not as refined yet. He's got a tremendous amount of offensive ability, but he's still a man playing amongst boys right now. And when you take that and you bump it up to the NHL, and we've used Ty Ratty before, and God, poor Ty Ratty. He must think we don't like him. I think the guy's a hell of a guy. He was a hell of a player and an unbelievable American Hockey League player. But my point is his talents never seem to be as eclipsing in the NHL as they were at lower levels. And from what I'm told and what I gather and kind of my own thoughts in this too is that Kyrou could potentially be like that too. One hell of a player, but maybe it doesn't translate to the NHL. I understand it could be about any player.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
But based upon, you know, what you see physically out of a guy, what you see mentally out of a guy, you know, he might be the one guy that could be parted with that they go and get another piece of the puzzle. So now if you're looking at your lineup and you've got Tage Thompson, maybe another top six forward that you went and acquired with a draft pick and or Kyrou with it. So then you look at your third line, you've got maybe Robert Thomas, maybe Barbashev, Robbie Fabry. Like all of a sudden your lineup starts to get pretty deep quickly. And you know, I just think that that's a way the Blues could look to go. And to me, that's the pecking order right now of their young prospects.
Well, and then another issue becomes roster space. I mean, that's the other thing, too, you know? I mean,
well, they're going to have to cut bait with a couple of guys here. I think we know who they're not going to offer contracts to and or release or whatnot. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious.
Well, I mean, but on that note, though, for a guy like Kyrou and what he brings to the table, and people could say, well, I think you can find space for a guy that scores 100 points. I understand that line of thinking, but think about where you're at here. You have a winger in Jaden Schwartz, who I think we all think is an excellent hockey player. You have one of the best goal scorers in the league when he's got it going in Tarasenko. You've got Alexander Steen, who's not going anywhere. We're talking about Robbie Fabry coming back.
Braden Shen.
I mean, we have all these forwards. So
he's not going to come in and play top six forwards. And the way he plays, he has to play a top six style of game. And so if he's not going to play in your top six forwards, then he's got to go play in the minors. And then even then, is it better to send him to the minors, or is it better to use him as an asset to bring in somebody else who can really strengthen up your depth up front?
And again, that is interesting. And we haven't even talked about Kostin. I mean, he's the enigma here, in my opinion.
The word is correct, enigma, because you watch him in practice and he can ooh and ah and watch everything. Oh, my God, this guy's so talented. But then so far it hasn't shown me that it translates in games. At the World Juniors kind of did. But once again, it's a man playing amongst boys, right. And it's difficult. And even though the best junior hockey players in the world at that time, at least the ones that aren't playing pro, I worry. I worry that he's that guy who gives you that one or two games every 10 that always leaves you wanting more.
Yeah.
And that's a tough spot to be in, you know? And then what do you do with him?
Now, this isn't acting where you're supposed to leave him wanting more. You're not supposed to leave anybody wanting more in the NHL.
God, people say that about Vladdy Tarasenko right now. They like to he leaves me wanting more. He's got 25 goals. So imagine a guy who's only going to have like 8 or 9 goals, how much he's going to leave people wanting more.
Yeah, no, I agree. So sometimes it's a numbers game. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I know as the season winds down, we'll talk more about what you see as far as your opinion, of course, roster-wise and where we go, obviously. I mean, you know, it was nice. We speculated all offseason about the expansion draft. You know, we did some stuff there, and, you know, some things kind of went the way we thought they would. They didn't.
Kind of, sort of.
You know, so it's like, okay. I mean, but there's – at the end of the day, you can't look at something and just keep – you know, let's just keep bouncing the same ball off the wall. You'd have to believe there's going to be some changes. They may not be as drastic as some fans would want, but you got to realize, I do too, because I'm the fan here, right? Like, I get frustrated. I'm no different than everybody else out there. I remember my mom buying my first set of headphones so that I could listen to the Blues games because I was driving her nuts. I'll never forget it. I was a young kid. I mean, I'm talking 1978, 77, okay? You know, I've been waiting all this time. I've had my heart broke. I've had some great memories, so I'm no different than anybody else. I want the same thing everybody else wants. To think that they don't, and I'm talking about the ownership group, the coaches, the guys in the locker room, to think that they don't want – if you don't think for 1 minute that those players in the locker room don't understand what it would mean, then you've lost touch of reality. I mean, all you have to do, and you know, unfortunately they got this label for a while, the Cubs – to think that those guys in the locker room didn't understand what it would mean to the city for them to win a World Series, and then they finally do, to think that these players don't understand is ludicrous, to be completely honest with you. And that doesn't mean you've got to give them a pass for that. That's not my point. My point is I think everybody involved in this process understands the importance. They also understand the seriousness of the roller coaster that we've been on, really for the better part of 3-4 years, to be completely honest. And Jamie, you're – as connected with all these guys as you want to be, you've been in the locker room too. I would say that, am I missing anything here?
No, you're right. I mean, look at when you talk about things looking different next year, you talk about adding Robbie Fabry and maybe one other player. I can tell you from experience, even just two guys to a locker room changes the dynamic. It does. It can be great. It can be negative. But, you know, looking at Robbie Fabry, he is a hardworking guy. He's a buzzsaw out there. You know, maybe you bring another guy like that. You get another kind of Braden Shen personality to bring into the team. All of a sudden, your core group of players looks substantially different than you thought it could, in a good way. And you haven't really done anything. You've just activated one player off the IR and maybe added another piece, or even maybe a youth guy. You know, maybe it is Thompson in a bigger role. Maybe it is Robert
Thomas.
A
hungry-ass young kid.
Who knows, right? And now all of a sudden, this attitude that people talk about, or the locker room, the core, the this, the that, the leadership, all that can change so quickly just based upon a couple of small tweaks. So as much as I'm not happy, just like everybody is, that the Blues went through this skid, I think that there are still some things to be pretty positive about, not just because they won one game. I think if you look at their draft board, you look at their roster, you look at their prospects, you look at what they're doing, you look at Robbie Fabry, I think there's a lot of things to look forward to here with the Blues.
Well, we shall see. We shall see, my friend. I know I just talked a little bit about SynergyHockeySkills.com. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you got going on there, and before we let you get out of here.
Yeah, Synergy Hockey Skills will be working with the Merrimack Sharks Association this spring, doing their skill development as well as some small area games and competition setting. So if you're out in that area and you wish to participate in their spring programming, get on there, sign up. Synergy Hockey is going to be a big part of it, as well as the Blues AAA spring programming. Synergy Hockey is going to be running all of the STL Elite programs, as well as the 04, 05, 06 birth years, and the 07s with the STL Elite program. So get on there, look at that stuff. If you have a kid that's ready to do that, get in there, sign them up. Last but not least, we have the summer camps that are filling up quickly. I got the numbers yesterday, and a couple are already sold out. So doesn't mean you can't put your name on a waiting list. Doesn't mean we won't open up a section or a second slot for those camps. But what it does mean is they're selling out quickly. So get on SynergyHockeySkills.com. Go to summer camps. Click on the one that you like. If it's not available, if it is sold out, put yourself on a waiting list or find another rink locally that we're operating at and get signed up for there.
Sounds like you're busy, my friend. Nothing changes with you, that's for sure.
No, not really.
I'm going to take a quick second here to invite in our friend and yours. And let me tell you, we were kind of laughing a little bit in studio the other day about our good friend Dennis Minner and his Live from Minner Arena segments. They've gotten really interesting lately. To say the least, he's a frustrated fan, just like the rest of us. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. I want to remind you guys that his segment's brought to you by Adam Smokehouse. Don't forget March 3rd is Catch a Dream Day at Adam Smokehouse. I know my friend Dennis is going to tell you all about it. Let's hear from Dennis now as we go to Live from Minner Arena.
Hey, what's up, Blues fans? This is Dennis Minner, live from Minner Arena. You can follow me on Twitter, at Minner Arena. And we are officially brought to you by the amazing, the incredible Adam Smokehouse on 2819 Watson Road. Let me tell you about an incredible, incredible event that they are doing right now that ends here this Saturday, March 3rd. And that is they are doing a fundraiser for Catch a Dream. Catch a Dream gives hunting and fishing trips for children with terminally ill diseases, and such an awesome organization. Adam Wainwright, you'll hear him mention it every once in a while. But for a $10 raffle ticket, you are put into a drawing. You don't have to be present to win. The winner is going to receive two nights for an incredible, awesome St. Louis staycation at the beautiful Clifton Heights Inn Bed and Breakfast. They converted into a bed and breakfast from an old Gothic church over 100 years old. So an awesome experience there. Also, the winner and four guests get to spend an evening with me. That may not be a good or bad thing, but hey, you get to spend an evening with me watching St. Louis Blues hockey at a watch party live in Minner Arena, and they're going to have some food from Adam's Smokehouse. So please do me a favor. Go check out Adam's Smokehouse. Let them know that we sent you. So let's jump right in. Let's talk about last night's game, and we won! All right, I've got really mixed emotions and thoughts. There's a lot of turmoil going on in the locker room surrounding pretty much everybody. I mean, from top to bottom. Berglund was benched and Thorburn was put in, which had to send a clear message to Berglund and the rest of the team, especially considering Thorburn was just put on waivers. No one picked him up, and that's the only reason he's still on the team. But here's what we did see last night. We did see the team step up. Petro, when he scored, it had to have been one of his hardest shots I have ever seen from him. And that's what this frustration can do if they channel that energy in the right way. But here's the thing. It was a 2-1 win over a very, very struggling Red Wings team. They're far from making the playoffs. I think they're 8 or 9 points out of the wild card. I want to be happy about last night's win, guys, but that cannot erase what's happened these last couple weeks as we lost 7 in a row. Look, our motto that the Blues selected this year is all together now. And that is very, very obvious that from top to bottom, even the fans, none of us are together about anything. You know, I've stayed away from this whole goalie controversy, but it's time to jump in. Guys, I hope I don't irritate some of you, but I'm officially off the Allen wagon. I'm joining Team Hutton. It doesn't mean I dislike Allen. In fact, I've got one of his game-used sticks hanging in Minner Arena. I want him to do better. I want him to clear his head, but the fact is he's not. This is 2 years in a row now that he has had kind of a meltdown at the same part. Look, guys, I know, blame the team, blame the defense, blame the offense, but here's what it boils down to. Allen is like a quarterback or a pitcher, and all eyes are on him. All right, so you've got to step up when the rest of the team is playing like absolute garbage. You've got to step up and make some incredibly, powerful saves, and he's just not doing it. If he can't handle the boos and the jabs and the things like that, then you know what? He's not cut out to be an NHL goalie anyway. And speaking of guys that can't handle booing, Petro, man, I love you, and you are an awesome, awesome captain. But if you can't handle the fans booing when you guys have been playing like you are, then maybe it's time that you take that C off your chest, and maybe it's time you get a job that's out of the spotlight. Look, all I know, fans are fighting, camps are divided. I've jumped off my Pollyanna attitude. I've been critical of the team. People have not liked it and even questioned my loyalty to the St. Louis Blues team. Guys, don't do that. Come on. It's like if my kid's misbehaving, I'm going to punish them. I won't be near as harsh with them as I am with the Blues, but you get the point. But fans, and myself included, we've got to stop telling other fans how to act and how they should feel. We're all fans. We all love the Blues. But just because I have a basement, guess what, guys? It doesn't mean I'm a better fan than any of you listening right now. Just because a person sitting next to me may choose to boo our team or take jabs at Allen, guess what? It doesn't make me a better fan. It's all about perspective. Look, going into this final stretch, it's going to be tough. I, for one, I hope the Blues make it to the playoffs, no matter how far they may or may not go. I think St. Louis needs it. I think our fan needs it. And I think this team needs it. So that's it for me. Hey, come see me this Saturday, March 3rd at Adams Smokehouse, 2819 Watson Road. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be watching the game, having some barbecue. I'm going to be there with my family, with one of my daughters and my wife. Come say hi. But more than anything, let Adams Smokehouse know that you heard about them live on Minner Arena. And with that, guys, let's go Blues.
Good stuff. Again, I love the passion that he shows. I don't know. This is a guy, he wears his heart on his sleeve. And if you want to know how he feels, he's going to tell you.
Yeah, it could be all over the map, but you're going to know how he feels in that moment. That's for sure.
And we want our fans to know, too, we will be recording live at Minner Arena this Monday, so we'll be coming from there live. I know, Jamie, you're working on a little surprise behind the scenes for everybody. Hopefully that comes true. I won't tell anybody what it is. But we'll be coming to you live from Minner Arena on Monday. We like to do that show. We'll probably do some videos, share some stuff with you guys. I know the producer's talking about doing some Facebook Live stuff. So you'll be able to catch us this Monday, probably around that 10 a.m., 10:30 time slot, and we'll get ourselves started And hopefully you guys will enjoy yourselves with that. I know we had a great time there last year. Our friends at Urban Chestnut have already sent over plenty of beverages for everybody involved.
Goodness. Hopefully they send over designated drivers, too. My goodness.
I know Dennis is working on some food for us, so it'll be great. I'm looking forward to it. And again, special thanks to Adam's Smokehouse for bringing us that segment. The other gentleman that we bring to you each and every week is our good friend Brad Lee. He does a great job with St. Louis Game Time. You still read that, Jamie? Good stuff, isn't it?
Amazing. Absolutely. Yeah. Those guys have been around forever. They do a good job. Sometimes they can be a little tough on things, but they're lots of fun, and they're dedicated. And that's important for a fan base to have dedication like that.
Well, as we always say, it's not the typical stuff you're going to see in the paper. It is fans. Sometimes they make you go, huh? Sometimes they make you go, come on. But either way, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, you're going to enjoy it. Find one of the four vendors out in front of the Scott Trade Center before the home games, or you can subscribe and receive it on your inbox. That's what I do. But let's hear from Bradley now with his St. Louis Game Time report.
Hi, this is Bradley with the St. Louis Game Time segment of the podcast. You can find us online at stlouisgametime.com or the Fan Run paper we sell outside every Blues home game, outside the garage driveway by the 14th Street doors in the northeast corner of 14th and Clark. It's Wednesday night. The Blues just got a win after seven long losses in a row, including an overtime one-pointer to Nashville a couple Tuesdays ago. The Blues finally got off the schneid against the juggernaut Detroit Red Wings. Yeah, I know. The Red Wings are not in a playoff position. They're not a good team. They just traded Thomas Tatar for three picks over three seasons. Mike Green's hurt. Pavel Datsyuk's in Russia. Henrik Zetterberg's old. Their only goalie is Jimmy Howard. They got a lot of problems. And the Blues got a 2-1 win. It was 2-0. They scored late. I think about a minute and 25 left. Detroit put a rebound in. Carter Hutton looked pretty good. You don't care about that. I know. The Blues are on the edge of a playoff spot. Wouldn't it be interesting if they eked in somehow over the last part of March, through March and the first week of April, they eke in the playoffs and they draw the Las Vegas Golden Knights in the first round? I have no idea what the Vegas Knights are going to do in the playoffs. I don't think anybody does. They didn't expect them to go this far and contend for the Western Conference number one overall seed, much less the President's Trophy here in their first season in the NHL. As long as Ryan Reeves decides to stop taking stupid penalties, they'll get back on the winning track, I would imagine. But no one knows what they're going to do. So, hell, I don't know. Blues first round, Vegas Golden Knights. Maybe it's a coin flip. Maybe Vegas comes out and blows them out. I don't know. There seems to be one common factor for teams to play the St. Louis Blues well right now, and that's team speed and just raw skating ability. And the Vegas Knights have it. That's one of the more unifying factors and maybe the secret sauce behind how they put the Knights together to contend so quickly. They took a bunch of guys who can skate really, really well, and then they got them to rally around the idea of nobody believes in us, and it's worked. I don't know if you can do that throughout the whole playoffs or not. Maybe a round or two. Who knows? The guys have talked about the trade deadline. They didn't make themselves better. They made themselves worse in the short term, and they got a first rounder. Great. They were going to let Paul Stastny go in the summer anyway, probably. So getting his salary cap number down halfway the rest of this regular season didn't matter because they weren't adding anybody else. I've probably talked about it on this podcast before. I know I've talked about it on mine, Game Time Drive Time podcast. Find us on iTunes. But I'll kind of give you the highlights of the idea. Doug Armstrong is trying to play both sides of the street. He is trying to play the short game and the long game. He's trying to win now, spending to the cap and putting guys in place, relying on some expensive veterans that are immovable at the trade deadline. He is going for it now while also protecting their future and building for the future. That's literally what he's trying to do. He's trying to do both strategies. He's trying to protect draft picks for future drafts and future prospects for future teams while still fielding a team that's right up against the salary cap. Will they be up against the salary cap next year? I imagine they have been every year Tom Stillman has owned the team, which has, you know, been a good thing. They've won three playoff rounds the last two postseasons combined. That's a good thing. The playoff revenue, it's exciting. Making the playoffs is awesome. Why not try to make the playoffs this year? You're trying to tell me Patrick Maroon wouldn't have helped this team? I have a theory about what the Blues have needed since the first day of this season. And it's called a grizzled veteran who doesn't give a crap about making friends or being an Instagram celebrity or hurting anyone's feelings on the roster. They needed to bring someone in, hopefully with championship experience. They needed a guy who'd been there before, who'd been through the wars, been in the trenches, all the cliches. Could come in and say, you know what, Alexander Steen? You're full of crap. You know, Alex Pietrangelo? You're full of crap. This is how we're going to do it around here, because this is how winning teams act. And we're going to get together, and if someone tries to skate up on our goalie, we're going to kick his ass. And if anybody pushes us around, we're going to kick his ass. And I don't care if you don't like how I play or what I say. Shape up or ship out, and I don't give a crap. And that's what they needed, and they didn't do it. And I'm not saying that number 27 is a bad captain. I'm not saying number 20 is a disruptive force in the dressing room. He probably is. I'm not saying that. He probably is. What I'm saying is a lot of these guys have played together too long. And you bring in a guy like Braden Schenn, he's not a big, loud, boisterous guy. He's going to come in and do his stuff and mind his own business. Kind of like Jaden Schwartz. Going to come in, mind his own business, lead by example. Play his game, play hard, hustle, let everything else sort itself out. The Blues needed someone to come in who could lead by example, who had a big mouth, who could get in guys' faces, who didn't give a crap. And they didn't do it. And look what's happened. And you know what? I think it's funny that former players are calling out a radio producer at 101 ESPN saying, you don't go to the dressing room, you don't hang around the team. How can you know? Look, he's a producer for Jeremy Rutherford's radio show. Who do you think his source of information is? You don't think he talks to the host of his radio show? You don't think JR has basically been telling him what's been going on the last month? His column 2 weeks ago in The Athletic, where he pretty much named names and kind of quoted Alexander Steen's favorite post-game lines about, oh, we'll have to fix that. You don't think he was talking about Steen? You don't think he told his producer all those things? Come on. It's ridiculous. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen the rest of the season? They traded Shattenkirk last year, and they still made the playoffs and won a round. This one's a little different. You don't have a lot of centers. You don't have a lot of guys who can win faceoffs. You don't have a lot of guys who can play on the power play, the center position. They needed Paul Stastny to contend for the playoffs this year. They need playoff money. They didn't bring anybody back in. You know, and I'm not saying they should have gotten a rental. No, Evander Kane was not a good fit. Rick Nash, not a good fit. Guys like Mike Hoffman and Max Pacioretty, have term on their contracts. They have more years than just this year on their contracts. They could sure as heck use them next year, couldn't they? So, you know, I think there's one way and one way only for the Blues to erase what has happened here the last half of this season. The inconsistent play, the losing streak, the trading Stastny away, probably missing the playoffs. There's one way to make it all go away. Have one hell of an off season where they could have double-digit salary cap room, not a ton of contract extensions or new contracts to hand out to current guys on the roster, and maybe the chance to get aggressive and bring some guys in. Bring some guys up from junior, Robert Thomas, Jordan Kyrou. Let's see what those guys can do. You never know. I don't know. But Doug Armstrong is going to have a lot of cash at his disposal, a lot of room under the salary cap. If they can retool this summer and do something, I don't know, special next year, if they could be dangerous all next year, we'll forget this time. But right now, man, it stings. And it stings bad. So, sorry to end on a downer, but I mean, that's where the Blues are right now. They got to win against Detroit. Not a big accomplishment. This upcoming road trip with Dallas and out on the West Coast, more telling, way more telling about where this Blues team is going to be and if they actually can contend for the playoffs this year. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm Brad with St. Louis Game Time. Check us out on Twitter, on Facebook, the paper, the website. We're everywhere except Instagram. We're everywhere, literally. So thanks for listening, and back to you guys.
All right, that's going to do it for Brad Lee and, of course, all the gang at the St. Louis Game Time. Jamie, I got to tell you, as we're going out the door here, we know Deneen Preston. She's one of our biggest fans. She shares everything. She just tweeted at us, and I was, I brought him up, and I wanted to ask you about this. Is there something going on with Tage Thompson's game that he's kind of found his way in the doghouse? Or do you think it's just...
Doghouse?
Young guy?
He's in the NHL lineup. How's that the doghouse?
Well, I don't know. I mean...
No, I think that...
Ice time's not where maybe... Or do you think that's just part of the maturation process?
It's part of the maturation process, really. I mean, you can't...
I just wanted to say maturation.
You can't just hand over ice time to a guy, because what happens then if it's not... earned, then it's a negative effect on the locker room, where they're just, this guy's being handed something for nothing. I think he's got to earn his way in there. I think you'll see over the course of the next, couple weeks or whatever, that he'll be given more responsibility. And look, it's a whole process. Your first year is very difficult. You're going to play up in the NHL. You're going to play in the minors. You're going to go back and forth. You're going to have different roles. This is the year to learn it all, to really digest it. I think we're going to see great things out of Tage Thompson, but I think he's, kind of in the right spot. I think it will increase as time goes on. I don't think he's in the doghouse. That's my opinion.
Well, I think when all this went down, so to speak, and again, I'm not the aficionado here. You would be the guy to break it down. It sure sounds like Yo liked Barbashev's game, and they gave him first crack at that time. Now, we all know that what comes around goes around.
Barbashev's have how many years invested now?
Yeah, sure. And that's kind of what
And he did. What did he do last year at the end of the season? He centered the number one line and into the playoff. All that. So his body of work is larger than Tage Thompson's is right now. And maybe he needs a kick in the ass in a good way, too. Maybe he needs a reward to keep him going. There's lots of things, different dynamics that come into the coaching side of it where – one, you have to sometimes let guys know what they need to do. Two, you have to let them know that they're doing good. And three, you have to reward them. If you think they're doing good, sometimes you give them a little more than they should get just to see if they can handle it. And if they don't do it well, then maybe you give them a little less. So it's a tough gig being a head coach, I'll tell you that much.
So you don't see it being – it's just part of the growth process.
I'm not reading into it right now unless there's something that I don't know about, which is obviously certainly possible. But I think he'll be just fine. I don't think he's in the doghouse.
Yeah, just is what it is.
Is what it is. It's being young.
Being young. You were young.
I went through it all. That's why I'm telling you. Sometimes you just can't read into it.
Well, good stuff, man. I'm glad you made the trip over. Let's be completely honest with everybody. You forgot that you were here Tuesday.
Dedication.
Were
like I told you.
Let's
the Blues had to give a little extra. I decided to give a little extra. That's it.
I love it. I'm serious. It really was that you missed me. So that's fine. You didn't want to leave me over here by
I actually
myself.
Thought you weren't going to be here. I was going to handle
know,
this
one. I know anyways. How it is. But, hey, I'm excited about a win. I'd love to see this group come together. Saw some positives. I know probably as we roll down the stretch here, depending on – the Blues will, just like, they'll tell their coach who should be doing what. They'll tell us what we're going to talk about. If they go on a little run here, we can kind of talk about what we see happening now. If for some reason it sure looks like we're going to have to build on the future, we can talk about that as well as we move forward. I've got so much over the next few weeks that I'm curious what you would do, what Jamie would do, given the GM hat. So, again, we'll go whichever way they go with us, and I know our Blues fans will enjoy it. We want to thank you for your participation, as always, in Blues NHL Podcast. Without me saying it over and over again, the truth of the matter is you guys are, at the end of the day, what has helped grow the show. You guys have done so much out there. That's why social media is such a big part of what we do, and, our ask is always for you guys to find us there. On that note, I couldn't do this without some of the growth that we've received thanks to our friends through social media. So on Facebook, I'm going to ask you to check out you know, a good friend of Jamie's, Mick Light. Everything over at Art City Sports is top, first class. Guy covers all the amateur sports here in St. Louis. You can find him at a local hockey rink watching kids. You can find him at the Blues games, Cardinals, whatever you need to do. Thanks a lot, Mick. Appreciate everything Art City Sports has done for us. St. Louis Blues hockey memes, of course. Great Facebook page everybody enjoys. Thank you so much for your support. St. Louis Blues fans unite, and, of course, everything STL Sports. Don't forget, our friends at InnovatedCompanies.com, you have the Innovated Construction, Innovated Heating and Cooling, and, of course, Innovated Electric. Randy and Stephanie Green, great pair, no doubt about it. 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman Randy is, fully licensed, bonded, insured. Again, what I love the most about the man, if he tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Don't forget our good friend Tommy Brown. It's tax season, folks. If you want to talk to Tommy, give us a shout here. We'll get you in contact with him. SynergyHockeySkills.com, everything they do for amateur hockey in St. Louis. Thank you to Jamie Rivers and, of course, Scott and Steph Nelson. NelsonLandServices.com, five-star locally rated professional landscaping company at reasonable prices. And, of course, special thanks to LineupMedia.fm. They do everything for us here at BluesNHLPodcast.com. Subscribe to the show. Do your shopping at Amazon. Find us on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast, at NHL Show. Hit us up on Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page, invite your friends, please. Find us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast. And, of course, special thanks to my co-host, Jamie Rivers, for making the trip over today and giving a little more of himself for all the wonderful fans out there. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. I leave you with a Let's Go Blues.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.